or listen to Tez Encounters on Faith FM, coming to you live from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m., you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events, learn how to study the Bible more effectively, get to know who God is, and why we're here and where we're going, and experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, David Leal, and today we have David Maxwell, who's joining us from Launceston for his series, Significant Visions and Revelation. But for our program, we often refer to each other as myself as Leo and him as Max, because we're both called David. So welcome, Max.
How are you going, Leo?
I'm going well. I'm going well. And yourself?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. Always good to speak with you and go through our studies in Revelation. But every week before you start your study, you usually have something significant with our listener. What do you have for us today?
Yeah, thanks very much, Leo. Well, look, I've been going through these significant visions in Revelation. Mm. We looked at a whole bunch of groups of seven, and now we're going to look at some other significant visions that we haven't yet looked at, not in detail anyway. We've just brushed over some of these. But I'm also looking at some responses of mankind to God. And today I'm looking at the second one of those, and that's unbelief. Now, unbelief is something I think we all understand at some point in our Christian walk anyway, or our life, there's unbelief in God. And one of the ones I'm looking at today is Abram. Or Abraham and Sarai or Sarah. Now, one of these is once they've had their name changed. That's the first one we're going to look at in Genesis 18. Abraham and Sarah, and they're quite aged at this point. So Abraham is 99 and Sarah is 89. And Sarah laughs at the idea of God giving her a baby. Let me read just a quick passage here. It says, "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' So he said, 'Here, in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah having passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh, for she was afraid.' And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" God knows what's going on, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah has a laugh. I mean, can you imagine, ladies, having a baby at 90? Ouch.
Yeah,
you'd know, tough.
You'd think if you saw that two together, you'd think, oh, that must be the grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely. And men, can you imagine looking after a child when you're 100?
Oh, not even at 50.
Enjoy that game of footy together, hey? You can hardly blame Sarah for not initially believing God, you know, or yes. Abram for agreeing to take matters into his own hands earlier when Sarah said, "Hey, this isn't going to happen. Why don't you take the handmaiden?" Mm-hmm. And Abraham, like a good husband, says, "Okay."
Sure.
You know, if he hadn't doubted so much, he would have said no. God had promised it to do,
that's right.
But he agreed to it, and they both went along. So they had some unbelief there. But earlier, it wasn't the first time that this happened, because earlier in Genesis chapter 12, there's another story of when they were both a little younger. So he was 75, she was 65. And she must have been a beautiful woman, because here at 65 years old, he says Sarai was a very beautiful woman.
Mm.
And he was worried that the Pharaoh at the time would take her as his wife and kill the husband, which was Abraham.
Right.
And so he says to Sarah, "Look, when people ask, tell them that you're my sister, and so then they won't kill me." And it was kind of true, because Sarai was Abram's half-sister, so didn't have the same father, but not the same mother.
Mm.
But anyway, so his half-sister. So this pharaoh, king of Egypt, Senusrat, fifth king of the 12th dynasty. So it's round about 1876 BC, you know, circa that time. And he was powerful and influential in ancient Egypt. So you can read some history about him if you want. This was much earlier in Abram and Sarah's journey and story. So it would seem that Abram hasn't really tested God. You know, God's called him out of his homeland in Ur and said, you know, come across here to Canaan. And he's listened, he's believed, but it seems like he hasn't fully developed his faith in God yet. So you can understand that. You can understand, and you can see over Abram and Sarah's life that they do end up believing in God and they do trust him fully and more faithfully. But when we look back on our own faith journey, I think, haven't we all been unbelieving of God's promises from time to time?
Oh, yes.
You know, no, I have. Mm. I know. Along the way, we've disbelieved that God will do what he said he will and things don't go exactly as they should or as we think they should anyway. Mm-hmm. And so then we, you know, we have that disbelief. So these examples and many, many more in the Bible should help us to grow in faith and to learn to trust God more and take him at his word, regardless of how things look like they're going down. You know, we see faith. Yeah, that's right. And I'll share a question in a moment about that. So far we've looked at, as I said, we've looked at God's patience with his own people. We've seen God's patience with those who say they're gods, but they need a bit of work. That was the seven churches, the seven seals. We've seen how those who persecute God's people, God even tries to save them in the seven trumpets. We see God giving evidence to the whole universe that he's fair in the seven bowls, where people have now made up their minds. Mm. And God's showing the universe, even when they make up their minds and I try to change through the hardest methods, they're not going to change. Last program we looked at a significant vision, the woman, the dragon, yeah, and the remnant. And this program we're going to look at another vision that John saw, and it has great significance for us today, people who are living in Earth's last days. So how do people hear the previous programs and go back and recap them?
Yes, definitely encourage you to download our app. You can go to the App Store, whether it's Google or Apple, and you can download it. Search for Faith FM, and you'll find the Faith FM app there and download it. You can also go to the website, faithfm.com.au, And I encourage you to listen to the previous episodes from there, Significant Sevens of Revelation, and also last episodes, one which I really enjoy, Revelation 12, The Woman, the Bride, and the Dragon. And so that's where you can go in and find them.
Thanks very much, Leo. So today I'm going to continue looking at a number of other important visions that John was shown in Revelation. And really, in essence, that's what Revelation is. It's a bunch of visions that John was shown. He was shown them all. He wrote them down in order. But even though they don't always happen in order in reality when they're fulfilled, but he was faithful. He wrote them all down. And I want to look at the first part of Revelation 13. It's a very significant vision that he sees there, and I want to see how it impacts us today. But before the break, the first thing I want to do is ask a listener question, as we always do, don't we?
Yes.
And the listener question today should get some response. It says, have you ever doubted God in something? So text that in. Text us in. Let us know. Have you ever doubted God in something?
Yeah.
What was the number that they need to text that in?
0488880891. Save that on your phone. 0488880891.
So text in. Have you ever doubted God in something? For me, my example, while you're thinking about it, Leo, mine's perhaps more like forgetting to trust, I think. You know, that might be a better description of it, because in 2016, Mary and I came for a holiday to Tasmania before we'd actually moved here. And we didn't know we were going to be moving here, but we went because it was one place in Australia we hadn't been.
Right.
And our car broke down just out of Coles Bay. And we were out of phone range. It was a real schmozzle trying to get help. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We got help. But every indicator from everyone who we talked to said that the gearbox had gone. We had, you know, put it in gear, could rev the engine, but we just weren't going anywhere. And so in my mind, I'm thinking to the worst straight away. The gearbox is gone, $6,000. How on earth can we afford that? And Mary said to me, do you think God knows you need a car? And I said, yeah. She says, well, just have faith that he's going to work it out.
Yeah.
All right. And so in the end, it turned out it was a drive shaft. It cost us $600, not $6,000.
Oh, down to $600, just a tenth.
10%?
Yeah.
And when you're faithful to God, he's faithful to you. Amen. What about yourself?
I think immediately when I was going to college, I did not want to go to study to be a pastor. And I had all my doubts that I'm not going to get through. And I made a contract with God and said, hey, if I don't get through the first year, I'm coming back to work in the second. And so I doubted that I was going to get through the first year. But
yeah,
here I am.
There you are. And we're so glad you trusted in it.
Amen. Now, wow, God's done many more things where I've doubted, but that's the first thing that came to mind.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He is. He is.
Have you ever doubted God in something? Number again?
Text us through on 0488880891. We'd love to hear your answer. We'd love to hear from our listener. And our first song we're going to go to break with is called Words of Life, and it's by a group called Revelation. Listening to Taz Encounters on Faith FM, and we are talking with David Maxwell on the topic of the beast from the sea. The listener question we have today is, have you ever doubted God in something? Text us through your answer on 0488880891. We'd love to hear from you. So, Max, as you said before the break, today we're looking at another significant vision that John saw in Revelation about a particular beast. So how are we going to kick this off today?
Yeah, thanks, Leo. How peculiar, a large, peculiar animal coming out of the water. Very odd. It's a very odd vision. So we're going to dig deep into that today. But first, we're going to pray for our listeners. Then I'll get you to read the passage in the Bible, and then we'll dive right in.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you're a God who shows us what happens before it happens so that we can trust, we can believe in you, we can have faith that you know what's ahead. Lord, help to encourage and grow and strengthen our faith today and give us understanding as we present this topic. We ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Revelation 13, 1-8, please. Leo, if you could read that in the New King James.
Got it. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a sea beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who was like the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Thanks, Leo. There's some really interesting imagery there that we're going to dig into. So I want to start with a illustration entitled God Plays Favorites. You can decide whether you think he does or he doesn't. Xiao Chen was swimming alone when he became stuck in the mud. And the rescuers who found Chen stuck after 4 hours, he'd been in the mud for 4 hours, they were really shocked to find that he actually had a mobile phone with him, wrapped in a waterproof bag. He hadn't used it because he didn't want to lose face. Interesting. So yeah. Chen refused also to let the rescuers take his pants off, which means he had to stay stuck in the mud for another 7 hours before they could get him out. Probably had to dig everything out around him. You know, there's worse things for proud people than spending 11 hours stuck in the mud. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:5 that pride, our pride brings us God's opposition. So God doesn't favor those who are proud, but he favors those who are humble. That's what 1 Peter 5:5 says. And that sounds like God plays favorites, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's hard to work with people who don't want help, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the same can be true for us as well. We often refuse to worship God as he asks because we think we know better or we're just too proud. So, you know, God sometimes says for us to do things and we think, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Like I've seen, you know, the Bible talks about washing feet and Jesus washed their feet.
Good example. Many people go,
I'm not doing that. And they just don't.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
But God says there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Anyway, so that's what we do. So today as we look at the first part of Revelation chapter 13, we'll see that in the end, it's all about who we worship, and pride has a huge bearing on who we end up choosing, which we'll see as we go through. So in Revelation 13, we're introduced to a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, if you've read much about the book of Daniel, you know that in prophecy, a beast represents a kingdom or power. And in Daniel 7:17, he actually says exactly that. He's shown, he has this weird dream about these four strange beasts coming up from the earth. And an angel tells him those great beasts, which are four kingdoms which will rise out of the earth. So it's very clear. I love when prophecy just explains it for you, don't you?
Yes. Yeah,
love it. Because you don't have to guess.
Right.
Yeah, it's black and white.
Yeah.
So in other studies, we've discovered that these four beasts represented the same four nations that were revealed to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel in a dream when he prayed about this big statue. So the winged lion represented Babylon. Interesting, because that was an image that they used on their reliefs, and we've found that in archaeology on the Ishtar gates. Winged lions. Fascinating. Yeah. Uneven bear represented the uneven alliance between the Medes and Persians. They defeated Babylon. The winged four-headed leopard represented Greece. And the terrible fourth beast with iron teeth, 10 horns, represented political Rome. And a little horn that came up afterwards represented religious Rome. So that was in Daniel, one of his visions. So back in Revelation 13, John sees this conglomerate beast, if you like, and it has features of all of those beasts mentioned in Daniel only in reverse order, which is interesting. So it looks like a leopard, it has feet like a bear, and it has mouth like a lion. And it gains its power from the dragon, which we saw in our last program, and it's mentioned very clearly in Revelation 12, that beast, dragon is Satan.
That's right.
So as this beast kingdom has its authority from Satan, it's represented as having 7 heads and 10 horns, just as Satan did in chapter 12. Okay, so just like Satan works through the people and nations of the earth, so does this sea beast. Interesting. So in prophecy, where we look at it's coming out of the sea, in prophecy, the sea can be either literal or figurative, and the context usually shows us which is which. For example, the final bowl plagues that we looked at, when they're poured out, it would appear they affect the literal sea because it talks about the sea creatures being affected. The sea creatures in the sea are being affected. So that appears to be literal. However, when Revelation is speaking about the apostate false religion mentioned as the great harlot Babylon, the many waters that it is interpreted as sitting on, John is told that those waters that this great harlot Babylon sits on or controls are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, very clear.
Yes.
So it stands to reason that this sea beast, which is representing the same power only on a broader timeline in history, the water or the sea mentioned in both chapter 13 and 17 appear to represent the same thing, nations or peoples. So this beast power on earth rises up from among populated nations of the world. Now, back to the imagery of what it looks like. Now, I think this is quite significant because when you look what it was like, remember we said it was the leopard, the bear, the lion, and that's reverse order to what Daniel saw in the kingdoms. So as the kingdoms came to power, so you have Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, this power that's revived in the days where this is talking about, it has opposite characteristics. So the leopard... A leopard's fast, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, they say the leopard is the fastest animal on earth, in short spurts. It can go up to 160 kilometres an hour. That's fast.
Yeah.
You know, have you done that in your car?
Yes.
Let's say no. Yes, when I was younger, I did see if the car could get to 200.
That's right.
I promise I only did it once, and I never did it again. Let's not try that. But a leopard is fast. So this power, the first imagery used for this is the leopard. This image represents the power coming to rising quickly like Greece did, okay? They say that, well, as a joke, people say that Alexander the Great died of boredom in his early 30s because he defeated everything, there was nothing else to defeat.
I heard that joke, yes.
Yeah, it's a joke. He died of something else more terrible. But nevertheless, this power comes to the fore very quickly, like Greece did. It has feet like a bear. Now, the bear represented the crushing power of the Medes and Persians. And they did. They just, and to their time, they were greater than Babylonians. And Babylonians were great. They really were. They were a powerful nation. But Medes and Persians together as an uneven alliance, if you like. One was more powerful than the other. The other became more powerful later. But they worked together, and as they worked together, they just defeated everybody in their path. So this power crushes its opposition like the Medes and Persians did. Then it has a mouth like a lion. So once it comes to power quickly, it crushes all the opposition. It starts to speak blasphemies against God, which is what Babylon did. Okay, that's speaking with the mouth. It also mentions having seven heads and 10 horns.
Yeah.
It gains its power from the dragon. And we saw from our last program, this was clearly stated in Revelation chapter 12, that was Satan. So the terrible beast in Daniel also did this. It had 10 horns. 10 horns.
Yeah, so you're saying that this mutated, what did you say,
conglomerate.
Conglomerate beast. This beast is a mixture of all these kingdoms.
Yep, that's right. And who this is? Well, We'll look at that after the break.
Going to leave us there in suspense.
I'm going to leave you hanging because, look, when you see that Revelation 13 speaks about something that's happened in the past, an event that happened, and then it'll clarify that event. It says that as we go into it after the break, it says, I saw one of its heads in verse 3 as if it had been mortally wounded and the deadly wound was healed. So it's almost like it appears to die. It appears to be part of this nation, part of this power appears to be killed. But it's revived. It comes back. So we're going to have a look at that after the break.
Yeah, so the question we've got for you, our listener, have you ever doubted God in something? Or text us in where you're listening to us from, 0488880891. And we have a DVD offer today called Revelation, The Bride, The Beast, and Babylon. So hang around. This is it's a DVD by Amazing Fats, and it's Discover the Hidden Story of Bible Prophecy. It's actually really interesting. This song I'm about to play is called Choose Your Beast by the Lesser Light Collective. There's a couple of rap verses there. So if you miss some things that David just said, listen to these verses and it will give you a refrain and a rehash of what we just discussed. So this is Choose Your Beast by the Lesser Light Collective.
It all comes down to the Lamb slain from the foundation of creation. It all comes down to the life poured out in the center of Revelation.
Let me tell you a story. We'll start with the sea beast. He seeks his own glory. Up from the sea he comes looking gory. With 7 heads, 10 horns, blasphemies on each head. It's a leopard with a bear's feet, a lion's mouth that'll fill you with dread. The dragon gives him power, power to devour, power to make everyone bow down and cower. A wound on its head should have left it dead, but it's resurrected and respected instead. And the world is awed, treats the dragon and the beast like Hollywood stars. In arrogance he blasphemes the temple and its God. For 42 months he wars to overcome the saints. But here's the patient saints, the beast will get his payment, wait. And if your name isn't found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're gonna worship him. That beast with sadistic plans, he's got the whole world in his hands. And he's not just a violent opposer, he's a subtle imposter, a two-faced poser. If you're not his enemy, then you're his soldier. You don't know enough to win the battle on your own. He who enslaves will be a slave, killers will be killed. The beast seems to rule, but the prophecy will be fulfilled.
It all comes down to the Lamb slain from the foundation of creation. It all comes down to the life poured out in the center of Revelation.
Next, the earth beast seems innocent as it ascends, lifted up from the wilderness with 2 horns on its head like a little gentle pet lamb. But don't get too close, it speaks like a dragon. Destruction is its middle name. Undercover killer, friends with the sea beast, shares in its bragging. Falling down so far feels like flying, leading the majority away from Mount Zion. It's an atrocity, flagrant idolatry, spitting in the face of the God they say they're following. He performs signs, fire from the heavens falling, multitudes fooled by the power that is calling. Word of God's only thing that can free him. It all comes down to the Lamb. Did you buy the beast program, friend? It's time to uninstall, cause with all his commands there's a virus involved. Speaks through his teeth, make an image to the beast. He breathes it to life and the precious increase. Makes a mark on their forehead or hand at least, so we can see clearly who will be policed. Each victim receives it, whether small or great, whether rich or poor, whether free or slave. He tricks, buy or sell, but your soul it can't fix. Let him with understanding calculate this. The number of the beast is 666.
It all comes down to the Lamb slain from the foundation of creation. It all comes down to the life salvation. It all comes down to the Lamb slain from the foundation of creation. It all comes down to the life poured out in the center of revelation.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
You're listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM with David Maxwell, or Max, on his series Significant Visions and Revelation. And Max has been talking about the topic of the beast from the sea. And according to this artist, he says that that head that you said that was wounded, he's resurrected.
Yeah.
And he becomes an imposter, and the world follows after him. And according to this, it says if our books, names are written in the book of the book of life of the Lamb, we're going to get suckered in too. It says this is we're going to worship him and follow him. That sounds pretty deceptive, and no one wants to be tricked by that. So,
no, that's right. Look, I've never heard that song, and I'm not a real rap fan, but I tell you, he really unpacked.
Yeah.
Revelation 13 as a whole. And so I hope you were listening well to that, because he gave some hints along the way. And I want you to know right from the start here, I have nothing against any other faith or religion in the world. I might disagree with them. I might think that their faith or religion doesn't teach them everything that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hold any bad feelings about anyone.
Right.
Okay. I believe everyone has the right to freely worship whom you choose. And that's from God. God gives us that right. I do, however, feel that I'm compelled to share what the Bible teaches. Otherwise, I'm not being faithful to what I believe.
Amen.
God tells us to do, because God wants everyone to know all the truth. I don't have it all. I certainly don't have it all. I know you don't have it all, Leo, and none of us have all the truth. But for what I do have, I feel it's important to be able to share and then let everyone make up their own mind.
Amen.
For example, when you sign a contract, so you've all probably got a loan at some point and you've signed a contract for that, maybe for your house, it's a big contract. Hope you read it all. keep you up at night reading those contracts. But I make a point of always reading the contracts before I sign them. And the lender is obligated today to give you all the information about what's required so they can make sure you're informed about what your requirements are and what their requirements are. And there's actually been a case that was won recently about a man who bought a car and wasn't told that the car sales yard gets a commission from the finance they agreed to, and it was a big commission. It was like a third of the price of the car. And so he fought that, and he didn't only get it paid back, but it's now going to be used as a test case against all car insurance finance companies. So it could be, you know, in the billions that it's going to cost to finance companies. Because they might have to, or the car yards anyway, they might have to give back that that amount of money that they had as a incentive if they didn't tell people about it.
That's right.
However, if you don't like the terms of the agreement, if you've read it and you're properly informed, you can put the pen down and you can walk away from the deal. It's your choice. But you can only make that choice if you're properly informed. And I believe the same is true for the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is presented as a rosy, pretty picture, because sin is not pretty, you know, and God wants us to know that. If we're going to choose Satan's kingdom, God wants us to know what we're getting ourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to choose his kingdom, he also wants us to know what he expects from his followers. You know, if you're going to join a football club, it's no good going in with cricket rules. You know, you're
absolutely
not going to get very far. You know, you have to understand what God's kingdom requires. So to help us identify who or what this kingdom is, let's read a little bit more of this chapter. So chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 3 to 7 quickly. says here, and I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? So in other words, they worship this power, and they don't realize they're actually worshipping Satan. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's pretty important, I think.
Yeah.
You see, this terrible sea beast has the same little horn power that Daniel's terrible iron beast has. It shows you that this vision given to John reinforces the fact that it's the medieval Roman church of the Dark Ages.
Yes.
That's what it's talking about. Revelation 13 fulfills a Bible principle called repeat and enhance, and shows more details about this persecuting power revived in the end times. So as you see the different images in Daniel and Revelation, you see as each dream unfolds, that particular dream is given to highlight another feature of a particular power or a particular time period. So within the two chapters of Revelation, chapter 12 and chapter 13, the same time period is mentioned in three different ways, helping to narrow down who or what this beast is. So the three ways this time period is described is 1260 days in Revelation 12:6, time and half a times in Revelation 12:14, and 42 months in Revelation 13:5. So there are 1260 days in all of these time references. And when you apply the biblical principle of a day for a year, you have an historical time period of 1260 years. So we've seen previously that this period matches the historical middle or dark ages from 538 to 1798. Fits perfectly. And oftentimes that's what helps us to see what a prophecy is talking about. Where is the time period that fits this prophecy?
Mm-hmm.
And does it fit with the rest of the pointers? And this one does. The medieval Roman church ruled during this time, and it killed or persecuted everyone who opposed it. And so it matches the description of a persecuting and blaspheming power. So what's blasphemy? Leo, do you remember what blasphemy is?
It's claiming to be everything that God is, you know, that you have that power.
Also claiming to forgive sins. They were the two things they accused Jesus of blaspheming in.
That's right.
So the Jewish leaders knew that. So this has to be a religious power, not a political power, mm-hmm. so much, not at the beginning anyway, because it says that it speaks on God's behalf,
mm-hmm.
and it also has the power to forgive sins. So that's two of those indicators. So in 1798, the medieval church received a deadly wound. And that happened in that its power was taken away in the French Revolution by General Berthier of Napoleon's army.
Mm.
So they capture the Pope, and the Pope goes into exile, and he later dies in exile. However, just 131 years later, in 1929, so this is 131 years after the papacy loses its power, Italian leader Benito Mussolini signs a Lateran Treaty. Now, it didn't immediately give power, all the power that it had before, but it opens the way for the church to come back to power.
Mm.
And in actual fact, you know, scholars were looking at what was going on here, because in the San Francisco Chronicle in 1929, it headlined, when this agreement was signed, it headlined, mortal wound healed.
Wow.
Now, people know. People were thinking. People were looking at history. People were looking at politics and knowing what was going on.
Mm.
So since then, the modern-day Catholic Church has revived and regained some of its former glory and authority, but it's regaining it more and more every day.
Matt, so if our listener is a faithful Catholic and hearing this and thinking, whoa, what are you saying? This is, you know, what... You were saying the Catholic Church is the sea beast, is that right?
Well, that's what all the indicators in prophecy say. The medieval Roman Church revived in the last time, and I'm not the only one that thinks so.
Sure.
Many of the reformers believe the same, and I feel the evidence is just too clear. Remember, though, I'm speaking about a system, not the individuals within it.
Yep.
And each person has the right to hear the evidence and make up their own mind. And after the break, I'll explain why this chapter is so important to us today.
So we have a DVD offer called Revelation, the Bride, the Beast, and Babylon. And this is Discover the Hidden History of Bible Prophecy. So if you want to know more, this is a good short documentary that you can go through. And no other book in the Bible has been more misunderstood or misrepresented than Revelation. For ages, its mysterious symbols and ominous predictions have perplexed millions and sparked wild speculation. But now that all changes with Revelation, the Bride, the Beast, and Babylon. Going to the very heart of the Bible's most challenging book, this 90-minute documentary decodes the visions of Revelation 12 and 17 for everyone to understand. And you'll understand Revelation 13 too. Educational and inspiring, Revelation delivers the keys to understanding the epic conflict between Christ and Satan and what it means for your life today. A feature-length documentary hosted by Doug Batchelor. This song is called The Lion and the Lamb by Will Morrison.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, his broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. Roaring with power and fighting our battles, every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain. The chains, and every knee will bow before the light.
You're listening to Taz Encounters on Faith FM, and we're talking with Max on the topic of the beast from the sea. It's getting pretty heated. And I promised the code to claim our free offer. We've got several copies to give away. So Revelation, The Bride, The Beast, and Babylon DVD, Discover the Hidden History of Bible Prophecy by Doug Batchelor from Amazing Facts. So for today's free offer, text through this word, signs too, all in one word, S-I-G-N-S, 2-0488-880-891, and we'll arrange for a copy of the DVD to be sent to you. So Max, before the break, we went into a harsh interpretation reality of seeing prophecy and who the sea beast is, and we're able to parallel it and match it up with the medieval Roman Church, the modern day Catholic Church. So what can we do? What can we, who we believe in living in the last days, learn from this particular chapter and what the sea beast?
Yeah, look, thanks, Leo. I think there's some really important things we can learn, because when you look at this chapter, it's all about worship. And if you listen to that rap, it was all about the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Remember?
Amen.
So it's all about worship. The bottom line in the whole chapter of Revelation 13 seems to be worship. Four times it's mentioned that people worship this beast power that is clearly against God and is empowered by Satan. That's a hard thing for me to say, that a religious group is powered by Satan. When you read Revelation 18, you see that when Babylon, false religion, is fallen, in other words, when you continue to act or behave or believe ways that are against God, God eventually leaves you to yourself. And he says, all right, then if you just won't listen or you won't change, then you're on your own. And it says here in Revelation 18 that Babylon, this false religion, becomes a dwelling place of demons and a prison for every foul spirit. You don't want to be in a system that does that. You want to be sure that the church that you belong to is following God faithfully. And the only way to do that is read the Bible for yourself. Very important. So in the first reference for worship in verse 4, it seems to indicate that the worship is freely given. So in the passage we've read today, there are two mentions of worship, and they both seem to be freely offered. Okay, so people are deceived. The whole world marvels at the beast's recovery. Now, I don't know about whether this fits the picture or not, but when Pope John Paul II visited Australia and a number of other, he visited 90 nations of the world in 1986. This was probably before some of our listeners were born, but for a lot of our listeners, they would probably remember this, and people were crowding to see the Pope when he came. He was seen or heard by about 3.5 billion people. Now, I just want that to sink in for a moment, because the world's population has almost doubled since 1986.
Yeah,
and in 1986, it was only 4.9 billion. So I think about the statement that we just read in Revelation 13:3, when it says, all the world marveled and followed the beast, almost all the world saw or heard Pope John Paul II. That really fits. It really fits. So in opposition to this granted power, if you like, that this earthly religious, and becoming political, but this religious power had, it was granted power. God's power is inherent. And he has this power whether we say so or not. In verse 7, we see that the power was given to the papacy, and when it received that power, it became a persecuting power in history. And as we continue in the chapter, you'll see that forced power again is being used in the last days. And there's an attempt to coerce everyone to worship this apostate religious power.
Mm.
And there's a group that will resist, because God doesn't force anyone to worship. As opposed to this forced worship, God will ensure that everyone has the correct information about whose side is what and what each side is like. So we will be free to choose. And my question to our listeners is, will you serve under force or coercion, or will you serve someone freely?
Mm.
And that's an important question for us to think about. So for us today, there's some very important things I think we can learn from this chapter. Are we studying today? Are we reading the Bible for ourselves so that we know which side is right and we're prepared to make a stand in the last days? Now, if you think I'm wrong, make sure you know why I'm wrong and be ready to make a stand. Are we taking the little steps in standing up for the right things now? You know, throughout our life, we are challenged through little challenges, if you like. And those little challenges help to reinforce our character, reinforce our behavior. And are we allowing those little challenges to make us ready to stand in a big matter, no matter what? I remember COVID, and there were some people during COVID who used that time to make a clear, conscious choice. I will not do this, or I will not do that. And they lost their jobs by making that stand. And I believe that those people will be better prepared for a bigger challenge in the future because they're able to stand on conscience. They know why they're making a decision. And many of us made decisions for other reasons. Mm. But Paul says, let every man be fully convinced. And that's what we need to do. In this chapter is outlined where the power of this anti-God kingdom comes from and the methods it's willing to employ to enlist the worship of all who dwell on the earth, it says. So unless we make concerted efforts now to prepare for these dangerous times ahead, we might be misled. The Bible seems to indicate, when I come back to my opening illustration of God plays favorites. Yeah. It seems to indicate that God plays favorites in choosing to give favor to those who are humble over those who are proud. However, it's clear from many, many verses in the Bible that God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. All we need to do is examine the evidence and choose. God grants to all the power to do it, but if we won't allow God to come and instruct us and learn from him, we'll gradually become more and more fixed in our thinking and we'll move away from him and take on the character of the enemy. And God will not allow pride in heaven because it's already what's made this undoing in the universe, if you like, and those through those who actually followed him once. So friends, don't you want to be part of God's kingdom of peace? Don't you want to allow him to humble you while there's time? Mm-hmm. If so, please text convicted to 0488-880-891 so we can send you some information to help.
Amen. Another awesome study. Thanks, David Maxwell, for that. And next week, we're going to another vision, the other part of Revelation 13, the beast from the earth, as we discover another vision that John sees that outlines responses to God's action in Revelation. Right now, if you're in the area of Launceston, it's 125 Talbot Road, South Launceston. There is a program that David's currently running, David Maxwell's running, called Ancient Mysteries Reveal the Future. Pop in and listen to some more about what Revelation has to offer us and what the Bible tells us about Jesus.
5:30 Saturday.
5:30 on Saturday. So the DVD Revelation, The Bride, The Beast, and Babylon DVD ticks through signs 2 to 0488-880-891 to claim your free copy. Now, we may not understand all of God's actions, but we can trust his actions are fair. The song that we're going to go out with is called Hallelujah, We're Home at Last by Reggie Smith.
Shut up! dead in Christ will rise. We're going home at last. We'll surround the sea of glass. No more empty mansions, no vacant seats.